Back together again, you and I chatting it up Tuesday, May 7th, 2024 on Connecticut Today. We talked about another last-minute so-called rat found in a wide-ranging budget bill at the state capitol. We welcome the new Independent Party of Connecticut Executive Director Chip Beckett on the show. He talked about the party's future heading into the 2024 election cycle. And as we do every Tuesday, Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio stopped by. She wrapped up the show with her weekly update.
You know, this is my favorite time of the year, either around now in the even-numbered years, or next year, like in 2025 or 2027 in the odd-number years, around June, the end of the legislative sessions. Because at the end of the legislative sessions, whether it's a full budget bill, which this is not this year, it's kind of some adjustments here and there, or a full budget next year, there are things called rats. You know how it's spelled? R-A-T-S. And I was talking about this with some legislators, with some other bloggers, with some other columnists and radio hosts, exchanging emails and texts, and it never fails. And I told you about the one yesterday where there's a real soft shoe and a two-step that's out there to try and get the governor to cajole him and twist his arm a little to sign this bill that suddenly nobody knows how it got there, to sign this bill that would eventually allow some state money, a couple of million bucks here and there, to go to workers who go on strike on their own and tip the scales away from business owners in the state. Gee, what a shock. So that was one of the rats that was unearthed by the good people, the reporters, primarily at the Connecticut News Junkie and the Connecticut Mirror, right? Well, guess what? We have our rat of the day. And you may hear me talk about this and say, oh, well, what's the big deal? No, this is the big deal, because sometimes, as good as many of our lawmakers in Hartford are, they abuse the trust that you and I put in them. We vote for them every 2 years, or at least I do. Some of you may vote, some of you may not. But what bothers me is this kind of abuse of the trust, or saying, hey, we'll slip this through at the end, because nobody will be really paying attention, and it's not a whole lot of money, which to the contrary is not true anymore. This is not 1980 anymore. This is not 1985. This is not 1990. I wish that some of the people, primarily in the Democratic leadership in Hartford, would understand this. We will sniff you out. You will be found out. There are legislators pouring through this stuff. There are good reporters up there who know that at the end of every session, it's rat time, meaning stuff that couldn't get passed sometimes would be attached as amendments to final budget bills or the implementer bills. So here's today's chapter. And luckily, the heat got a little too hot because they couldn't slip this one through on you and I, and good for whoever blew the whistle on this one. But again, this is one of those where you hear them trying to cover their arses and to backtrack on this, and you say, really? Honestly, really? You take us to be that stupid? Get this. This is a story by two good reporters here, Keith Fanouf and Mark Pazniokas in the Connecticut Mirror. You sitting down to this one for this one, kids? Two hands on the wheel. A plan to get Connecticut state health benefits to a select few is abandoned. The provision was tucked into a budget bill described by the Republican leader as a rat, and it was then jettisoned before coming to a vote.
Jesus, Maud, they found us out. The jig is up. The cops are on us. Throw it out the window.
One section, now this happened over the weekend. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Eventually, all this stuff comes out. This is the kind of stuff I want you to keep in mind when you vote in November. one section of a sprawling budget bill that was finalized over the weekend and released yesterday. So remember, the bill was released yesterday, and that's when legislators and reporters can actually start reading it. Release Monday would have, get this, would have provided state health coverage to a few unpaid members of quasi-public authority boards, including the Democratic chair in New Haven. State Senate President Pro Tem Martin Looney of New Haven and House Speaker Matt Ritter of Hartford, both Democrats, defended the benefit. Get this. Are you ready for this fertilizer, folks? As an incentive to attract more and better members of quasi-public boards. Come on. Stop. You got caught. Stop. But, this gets better, but they unceremoniously jettisoned that idea before the bill was called for a debate in the House. The first of two chambers that would consider the bill at 235 pages long, making spending and revenue adjustments in the second year of the budget biennium. Matt Ritter said, quote, people raised concerns about the costs. Really? You think? The questions went beyond the $1.1 million projected cost, though the net cost to the state would be zero, as the quasi-publics would have had to absorb the cost. House Minority Leader Vin Candelera, Republican North Brantford, called it a classic legislative rat, a surprise addition to a bill that benefits a select few. Our friend Vin said, quote, this notion that that's going to attract better quality candidates is something that was not vetted through the process. It's come out of nowhere, and it's an unfortunate rat to see in this document. And folks, there's two different things at work here. Like Vin just said, all of a sudden it showed up in a budget bill. Now, you can debate whether or not the unpaid chair people or people that sit on these quasi-public agencies should get this. I think the answer is no. Who the hell are they? It's not like they're a regular state employee. Well, you know, this will allow us to attract better people. Oh, stop. Stop. Now, it gets even better. If you think this isn't embarrassing enough, it gets even better, right? And this is frightening. Now listen to this. Now, understand something. Matt Ritter is the state house speaker. Okay? So that's tantamount to Mike Johnson, who's the House Speaker in Congress right now in the House, or previously Nancy Pelosi, or previously John Boehner, or who's ever been House Speaker. Now, do you think these sorts of things make it into a federal House spending bill without any Speaker knowing about it? Of course they don't. But here, says here in the Connecticut Mirror, Matt Ritter acknowledged that the idea had never been raised in a bill subjected to a public hearing. And, oh, this gets better, boys and girls. Listen up, listen to the wireless on this one. And he could not explain the choice of only four of the more than dozen quasi-public authorities. Matt Ritter said, quote, I don't know why it's singled out only four. Huh? You're supposed to know that. You're the House Speaker. How do you sit there with a you know what you say, Nat? Speaker Ritter, with all due respect, you know what you say? If somebody says, well, how come there was only four agencies cited into giving out this free state-level, you know, really nice Cadillac-level health care? You know what you say? I'm going to investigate that and get back to you. Instead, he says, I don't know why it's singled out four. Now, the lucky four authorities whose people people involved with them that would have gotten state-level health care, the Connecticut Airport Authority, the Port Authority, the Lottery Corporation, and SERC, the State Education Resource Center, the health coverage would have kicked in this coming July 1. Now, Ritter's playing hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil on this. He's saying that, according to this story in the Connecticut Mirror, sources said the suggestion for the provision, again, free health care, be nice, wouldn't it, huh? That'd be nice. For the provision was floated 3 days ago, coming from Senate Democrats. Oh, I'm shocked. Vinnie Morrow, who stepped down last year as chief of staff to Martin Looney, the leader of the Senate Democratic Majority Caucus, would have been, insert my shocked face here, kids, would have been one of the beneficiaries of that benefit worth $22,600 annually. Morrow remains an influential player as the Democratic Party chair of New Haven. This is all such a coincidence. Morrow is on the airport authority, said he didn't seek the provision and was happy to see it struck once his name became attached as a beneficiary. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm not going to be getting this. In an interview before the provision was abandoned, Martin Looney said the benefit would have had a broader impact than on Morrow, but he declined to comment further. Folks, here's the bottom line. They got caught. They got caught. Look, there are a bunch of wonderful people up at the State House, State Capitol, State Senate. I know and talk to a lot of them. I know a lot of the background people. But here's the bottom line. This was a big homina, homina, homina. It sure sounds like, now, I can't say this for sure. This is just dummy me talking here. This sure sounds like a nice little gift wrapped with a bow here. Hey, you don't draw a salary to be on these state boards, but what if we toss you $23,000 worth of state health coverage? Must be nice, huh? Must be nice. Unless you follow Connecticut politics like I do, unless you're a real political junkie, a lot of people heard a lot of stuff over the past municipal elections about the Independent Party of Connecticut, and then there was a big kerfluffle about what the Secretary of the State's office wanted to do in the wake of that. So joining us right now to talk about that, what's past, what's present, what's future, is the new executive director of the Independent Party of Connecticut. Chip Beckett is on the phone. Hey, Chip, it's Paul here. How are you?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
Very good. Oh, great, Chip. Great to have you. So you're obviously, and let's go over a little of your background here. You're not new to politics. What have you done in the past, and what has led you to now lead the Independent Party of the state?
Well, I started out in Glastonbury on the town council and was chairman of the Glastonbury Town Council, so the equivalent of mayor, for 6 years, from 2011 to 2017. I stayed on with the change in parties to be minority leader. While I was chairman of the town council from 2013 to 17, I was chairman of the Capital Region Council of Governments. And then in 2022, I ran Rob Hodling for lieutenant governor, and Rob was running for governor.
Yeah, had him on a couple of times during that. So now Chip, what takes you to the Independent Party? Why here? Why not align with the Republicans? Why not align with the Democrats? Why are you now heading the Independent Party of the state, which, correct me if I'm wrong, has about, what, 45,000 members? Is that about right, or am I off there?
Yeah, no, that's about right. You know, there's people that mix up independent and unaffiliated, but there's about 40, 45,000 people registered in the Independent Party right now. Why am I in the Independent Party? The progressive left has always, I've always thought, raised some of the right questions, but had the entirely wrong solutions to a country that was based on entrepreneurship and freedom. But to me, the MAGA right is very authoritarian, and I left the Republican Party when 147 congressmen wanted to join with Ken Paxton to overturn the COVID election rules in other states. And I thought, boy, if Connecticut sued Texas about its election laws, you know, we'd be the laughingstock of the country. So why could the Texas Attorney General be suing other states for what he perceived to be was wrong? And to have Congress go along with it was just made a bad idea by Ken Paxton be ratified by the majority of the Republican members of Congress. So I thought, they don't believe in elections at all, so what's the point?
Chip Beckett is the guest. He's the new executive director of the Independent Party of Connecticut. Chip, I don't know how you felt, but I did not like an aspect of what the Secretary of the State's office wanted to do a few months back that would have essentially forced the Independent Party to rebrand itself, because Stephanie Thomas argued, which I strongly disagreed with. I thought this was purely political, coming off the last election cycle, that, well, it's confusing to people. And I heard, Chip, some people already affiliated with the Independent Party saying, no, we want to say that we are independent of the Republicans, of the Democrats, and that's how we choose to label ourselves. What are your thoughts on that? What did you think of that push to, you know, force your party to rebrand itself?
I think that's called a legislative rat. You know, they bury it in a big election, a big election law. They bury it as point 15 out of 17. So
yeah,
it's in the middle and nobody sees it. Everybody's eyes are glazed over with technical things. And it was just a way to get rid of us because they were going to pay us back for having supported John Gomes. And, you know, whether or not you like John Gomes, he ran with support from the Independent Party of the city of Bridgeport. And I think there's lots of people feel disaffected from either of the two parties, especially some of our cities with that have been exceedingly one party control for the last 70 or 80 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people want a different voice. If you're not part of the party establishment, you know, you don't have a right to say anything. And I think cities with 150,000 people don't need 20 people telling them how they need to live their lives without any input.
So you do, Chip, just to make sure I understand you here, you did see that move as a payback. And I know there was a little kerfluffle between the party leadership and John Gomes at the time, but you saw that as a direct payback because of what happened?
Yeah, that's how I see it.
Okay. Fair.
If they wanted to do it, why didn't they do it 2 years earlier?
Well, that's what I was wondering.
So I think this is purely a payback for the Bridgeport debacle.
Yeah. Chip Beckett is the guest, the new Independent Party of Connecticut executive director. Chip, it frustrates me. Look, I'm a registered Republican, but I'm one of the few people in my party, or I think in me or the Democratic Party. Chip, I have always said the more candidates, the better. I bristle, Chip, at stuff that goes on in this state and other states across the country to limit choice. This vice grip, Chip, that the Republicans and Democrats have here in Connecticut and every other state, to me, is antithetical to what this country is all about.
I completely agree. I think you need a diversity of ideas, and I think both parties have fallen into groupthink, where just to echo chamber talks to each other, but I think they aren't listening. They aren't listening to each other's good ideas. They aren't listening to the vast majority of the public that's outside those echo chambers that have good ideas. And I think that's a failure of our government process, and it's a failure for our whole society that we can't do things. And, you know, on a national level, take immigration. I remember when it was changed in 86 and people said it wasn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're now in 24, so 40 years later nearly, and it's not working. And how many opportunities from how many different presidents and congressmen have come up, but nobody can get anything through because they'd rather fight about it as an issue than they would to solve it or improve it.
So coming up in November, of course, now we're past the municipal elections. That was last year. So now we have the federal elections, but we also have elections, Chip Beckett, for the General Assembly, for the 36 seats in the state Senate, the 151 seats in the state House, congressional seats, Senate seats. So lay out the landscape for me, if you will, as we head into November for the Independent Party of the state.
Well, the Independent Party has about 120 lines of those 151 House seats plus 36 Senate seats. So which means we've got at least 1% of the vote on those. So we plan to nominate people for all of those seats. Some will be cross-endorsed from the major parties.
Mm-hmm.
Some will be standalone candidates. And I don't have any idea how that's going to break down right now. But that's. But I do know that we have people that want to be standalone candidates, and we're encouraging them to run for the same reason you talked about. More ideas, I think, gives a better result. And I will say, you know, Rob's and I, we have a lot of ideas. And Governor Lamont has adopted a whole bunch of them over the last 2 years. So I think that's part of the debate that happens with an election is what are the approaches to solve problems that people want to do? I think we're going to look for candidates that want to make improvements. I don't think anybody's got perfection out of whole cloth, but mm-hmm. I do think that we can continue to make progress where people say, hey, this would improve the situation. Let's do that, and then we can come back in another year and talk about how do we improve it further.
Now, Chip, what can people do if they like what you hear or what anybody hears on the Independent Party slate? How do they become an active member of the Independent Party of the state?
You can just change your voter registration on the Secretary of State's website by saying, I want to affiliate with the Independent Party. There are several minor parties listed, and so you've got two major parties, but then you've got the Green Party, the Libertarian Party, the Independent Party, a bunch of town parties, and you can pick the Connecticut Independent Party on that list, and that would be your voter registration. We would appreciate that. If you've got like-minded friends in your town, then we would like to have town affiliates of the state party, just like the major parties have, and that spreads our word around, gets local feet on the ground for people to talk about what to do and who's to best represent them in that area. And then finally, to just log on to our website, you know, so that we have your contact information and we can get a hold of you.
And what would that website be? Do you have that offhand, Chip?
ConnecticutIndies.com.
All right, we'll check it out. Chip, thank you. We appreciate it. Good luck and fight the fight. Listen, the more ideas, the better, I think, basically. And I think a lot of people understand that. So we thank you for the time. Chip Beckett, who is the new executive director of the Independent Party of Connecticut. Chip, thanks. Stay in touch. You got the phone number. So anything pops up, feel free to give us a call, okay?
Great. Thank you, Paul.
All right, Chip. Day. Appreciate it. Good man. Thank you, Chip. Chip Beckett, B-E-C-K-E-T-T. He is the new executive director of the Independent Party of Connecticut. Things, thankfully, winding down at the state capitol. Megan Portfolio joining us at this time every Tuesday. She writes the Hartford Portfolio for the Yankee Institute and watches copious amounts of CTN. Watches these legislative hearings, these votes. I used to do this years ago. I just can't take it anymore, but she does. Megan, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm welcoming the break. I think tonight's going to be a long night for me.
Oh, that's right, because they are. Now, wait. The end is tonight at midnight or tomorrow?
I don't know. The House has already passed the budget. Well,
yeah.
I don't know. They get confused with terms in the House. Like, they can't, they were still arguing about pregnant woman and pregnant person budget bill versus ARPA spending allocation document. So they get really confused in the House.
Do you have multiple monitors going here like I do at home when it's hockey season, or do you just squeeze this all down into one?
No, I've got two. I got it on two different screens. So I just bounce back and forth like the House is just doing something boring. And
just do what I do.
About solar panels.
This game is better. I'll turn the volume up on this one. Hey, a couple things you want to talk about here. And I heard about this bill a couple of weeks ago, and then it went a little radio silent here, no pun intended. Favoring one brand or one channel of media in the state over others for state expenses and how they have to publish things. So fill my listeners in on that.
So apparently we want to become the Connecticut CCP.
State media. State run media. Yeah.
So, you know, it's common. Different agencies in the government, they'll take out ads for whatever reason, for outreach or whatnot. But this bill will force agencies to spend 15% of their advertising budget to locally owned media for either print or digital ads. So it's basically funneling in money to certain news organizations. Now, Hearst, you know, they're huge.
Yeah.
And they have about, I think they have like 15 weeklies here in the state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They would not qualify because you have to have your headquarters actually be in Connecticut.
Okay.
I mean, it sounds nice, but now think about it. Government is giving you money. Now you're an advertiser. You're paying.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think the editorial integrity is going to be when your customers is basically signing your paycheck? This was actually super funny. So one of the reps that was really in favor of it is a civics teacher.
Yeah.
He talks about being a civics teacher. And he was saying, you have to understand how important local news is, which he's absolutely correct. I mean, I subscribe to all the local newspapers and even local newspapers up in Mass to see what's going on.
Yeah.
So he's right there. But then he goes on to say that he feels it's, you know, their obligation to prop up these local medias. I'm like, dude, you're a civics teacher. You should know, like, that, what's that amendment? It's silly, First Amendment that protects, you know, the freedom of speech. I'm like, the government needs to be completely separate from the media.
Well,
for obvious reasons.
Yeah, and you know, Megan, it's interesting, I spent a little time in newspapers at the same time I was in radio, but you know, I'm 40 years in radio now, and there have been times over the years, not here, not at my station, a Connoisseur, thankfully, but at other places when they've been spending on the state. You know, the state is spending money and they want to do this and that. And as a news guy and as a talk guy, I'm like, well, that's kind of a fine line, because what if, for example, that state department or state agency that's spending money on your radio station or your news or your TV station or your online newspaper, what if they start to get a little funky in the news about something? Like, does that, you know, are you biting the hand that feeds you, or are your hosts and your writers and your correspondents, are they going to have the freedom and the backing by management to go after somebody who's spending money with you?
Funny you bring that up. That incident just happened with NPR, who's, they're partially government funded. They do get a lot of funding through donations, but they are partially funded by the government. And one of their employees is a 25-year employee.
Oh, yeah.
Actually
yep.
came out and mm-hmm. wrote an editorial piece saying how his organization is basically, you know, working with the progressives
yeah.
to spread their point of view. And he got suspended. He ultimately
quit.
Just resigned.
Yeah. yeah, he quit. Yeah.
But he said, like, NPR was pushing that whole, you know, Russian collusion mm-hmm. in Trump. And then when it turned out that that didn't happen, they just disappeared. They didn't talk about it anymore. And I mean, they were literally working with Adam Schiff from California to spread this propaganda. And when it turned out to be false, they didn't really go above and beyond to correct their reporting. They kind of just let it out there. And you know how the internet works. I could just Google Donald Trump Russian collusion. I'm going to get these NPR things up.
Yes,
and
you will.
Like, oh my goodness, the collusion.
Mm. Okay, before we go to the next aspect you wanted to talk about, which the other day I think made my head crack a little bit, what is the status now of topic number one today? Is this going to pass, this spending on media? Where does this stand, Ina?
It passed the House, so I don't know. I mean, we're running out of time.
Thankfully.
The Senate still has to do the budget bill, which I imagine is going to, you know, they have a lot of talkers mm-hmm. over there. So I imagine that's going to take up, if they don't get to it today, you know, it's going to take up the bulk of the day tomorrow. And there's still a bunch of other bills. There's a bunch of conveyance bills mm-hmm. and very small bills. So I hope not. I hope the Senate is a little more progressive than the House.
Yeah.
So I'm a little nervous that they do call it, but I don't think there's enough time for it.
Yeah, and that's good.
Pretty...
And I love to hear they're running out of time when stuff like this happens, including this one. And Meg and I talked about this for the better part of 90 minutes the other day this week. So there's this kind of little shuffle, this little two-step. Hey, how can we set aside money to pay workers that go on strike and make it palatable enough that the government will, the governor will be okay with it? Because this is one of these bills where if you try to get people to talk specifically about it, right, they're all going, well, yeah, it's not in this yet. You know what I mean? Like, nobody wants to own up to this.
This is the definition of shady, the way this all panned out. And I don't know, I'm sure your audience knows, they're pretty sophisticated, mm-hmm. but every year they put in a slew of these dummy bills, which, you know, they'll say nothing. It'll say an act concerning making Mondays a fun day. And it just passes out a committee and it just sits there and it's used as a vehicle to
yeah.
put in either unpopular things or things they didn't get to. It's disingenuous, and I wish they would just do
yeah.
away with that. Like, add an amendment to the original bill. But in this instance, there was already a bill out there to give unemployment insurance to striking workers. We've talked about it before. And Governor Amon has said he's really not interested in it. He's gone on record saying it with the Hartford Current that he doesn't feel, you know, it's that fund should be used mm-hmm. for that. So what they decided to do is take a bill, an act concerning expenditures of the general fund.
Oh, jeez.
Change the title to an act establishing the stabilization support
for
a replacement fund. And all it says, it's like two sections. All it says is they're going to set up this account, this $3 million account.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's coming from the comptroller's office of unspent money to create a Connecticut families and workers account.
Sounds nice, doesn't it?
Nice, doesn't it? I'm a Connecticut family
so
and worker. How do
I'm
I
a worker,
it on this?
Yeah, yeah.
So the guy, the proponent from New Britain, Rep. Sanchez, talked about it for literally 1 minute.
Oh.
Doesn't mention anything about striking workers. It got barely any debate. One of the reps on the other side of the aisle talked about it for a couple minutes, and it passed, mostly across party lines. And this was on Friday. Come Saturday, I wake up and CT Mirror's got an article on the internet talking about how this was really a vehicle to take taxpayer money and funnel it to people that choose to go on strike.
And
why do I have to pay for this?
And the funny thing is, Megan, I was explaining this yesterday, I think, or the day before in my show, and I'm getting calls here and emails from people saying, well, wait a minute, isn't this what the union strike funds are for? And I said, well, in a logical world, yes, but logic ends when you walk in the Capitol sometimes. It just does.
I mean, not all. So to be fair, not all unions have a strike fund.
No, I get it.
Many of them do.
Yeah.
But yes, that's what that's supposed to be used for. And I mean, you're completely undermining the whole collective bargaining process when you have the government sticking their thumb on the scale for one of the parties involved in the negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
And they do this constantly. They're constantly sticking their nose in the middle of negotiations between people and employers. And it just, that's not the place for government at all. I mean, and then to ask the taxpayers to pay for this. And then they said it's just going to be, you know, they're going to put the $3 million in. And then once it's gone, it's gone. Come on now.
No.
When do they ever cut programs over there?
Jeez. All right. Check out the Hartford Portfolio, Megan Portfolio's blog. You can find it at the Yankee Institute. Now, Megan, Vaya con Dios, God be with you, is now for the next probably 36 hours. You try and stay up as much as you can and soak up enough of the fine rhetoric that you'll be seeing on CTN. Okay, so
thank you, sir.
in a lost moment, don't be afraid to just text me something if you need a moment of clarity. Okay.
Oh, if there's something ridiculous, I'll
yes.
be sure to text you.
Please. All right, Megan. Thanks. Be good. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye.
All right. Thanks.